Good morning. Today's Daf Yom Lamed Hey. We are on Lamed Dal Amid Beis. We're starting today with the Mishnah. We are going to be starting the second tefillah of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. There are going to be five tefillahs in total, five wardrobe changes in total. We already established Daf Lamed Beis that we're going to go gold, white, gold, white, gold. The big day Zav, the first begadim he put on, followed then by the big day Lavan, then big day Zav, then big day Lavan, then big day Zav again. We know that with the Big Day Lavan, the Kohen Gadol is going to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He cannot go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with Big Day Zahav. And Kategor Nasa Sanegor. We haven't seen the Gemara say that yet, but we all know this. So we know that with the donning of the white clothing of the Kohen Gadol, so we know that it's going to allow him to gain access and entrance into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So in our mission over here, he's going to tovel in the mikvah now for a second time in the day. And he's going to put on the Big Day Lavan. Let's see the mission inside. Hey, the uhu le base parva. They would bring him to the base parva. Uvikoreshayisan. It was in the azara. So you remember the first tefillah the Kohen Gadol did was not in the was not in the base parva. So it was right by his lishka. Okay, a little bit ambiguous in terms of what exactly, where exactly that was. But you look at any. I did a little background check. So the you look at any handy dandy the picture of the azara. So it's also in the south side, but over here, he's now going to the base parva mikvah, which he's going to be toveling for the remainder of today. And he is going to, and it's in the Azara. That's the Mishnah says beferish, v'kodesh ha'isa. Parsu sudden shabbutz bein olavein ha'am. Now, it was in a pretty public area. And so therefore, you put up a sheet, put up a linen sheet between him and the nation. And then v'kiddush adam v'raglav. So now he's going to do kiddush adam v'raglav. Remember, that number is 10. Total of 10 Kiddush Adam V'Raglaims. 10 times he's going to be washing his hands and feet over the course of Yom Kippur. So what number is this for him in terms of the washing of the hands and the feet? So I wish that was an easy question to answer. It's not so easy to answer. So you remember we had a machlokus in terms of the first washings of the hands and the feet, whether it was done twice already, that Shitas Reb Meir, or it was only done one time, which is the Shita, the Chachamim, and which also happens to be the Stam Mishnah that we saw earlier. So this could be either washings numbers 2 and 3, or it could be washing number 3 and 4. It depends on whether or not you hold it to Chachamim or Reb Meir, respectively. I did that one well. Okay, good. The Kiddush Adam V'Raglav, Upashat, and he would be poshet. So in other words, the order is that first you wash your hands and feet, and then you remove. In other words, removal over here would be the removal of the Big Day Zahav. Now, Reb Meir Omer Poshe Kiddush Adam V'Raglav. Now, according to Shitas Reb Meir, first you remove the clothing, then you wash your hands and feet. Okay, that machlokus between the Chacham and Reb Meir we discussed just a couple days ago in the Daf. Yarod V'Tavel. Now he goes and he tovels in the mikvah. Alav and he's stopping. He comes out and he dries himself off. He Vilo Big Day Lavan. Now he's going to put on the Big Day Lavan. Good. Lavash, he puts them on Kiddush Adam V'Raglav, and then he does Kiddush Adam V'Raglaim. Here, there's no machlokas between the Chacham and Rameir. Ostensibly, they agree that the washing of the hands is done after you put on the Big Day Lavan. B'shachar Hayalovesh. Now, he's going to be wearing Big Day Lavan twice today on Yom Kippur, right? He's going to be putting on the Big Day Lavan now for Tefillah number 2. He's going to take them off and put on the Big Day Zav for Tefillah number 3. He's going to put him back on again for Tefillah number 4. So the Big Day Lavan are the same for 2 and 4, right? So the Mishnah says, no, that's not correct. So Hayalovish Plusim Shoshne Masar Mana Bein Har, I'm sorry, Plusim Shoshne Masar Mana. So according to the Tanakam of our Mishnah, the Big Day Lavan that he wore in round number 1, that's for Tefillah number 2, that's the Tefillah we're describing right now. So it was Pulusin. So Pulusin, Rashi says, is Egyptian. Rashi doesn't say it. I do take that back. The Bach says it. The Bach says over here that Pilusa, if you look at the, of course, the Yerushalmi, if you look at the Targum on Ramses, right, if you look at the Targum Yerushalmi on Ramses, so you'll see over there, the Targum Yerushalmi describes it as Pilusa. Okay, so anyway, so Egyptian linen, and the first time he's wearing the Big Day Lavan, it was Shtemasar Maneh, right, a Maneh is 100 Zuz, so it was equivalent to 1,200 Zuz, and Bein Arbayim, Hindu Yim. Now, the next time he puts on, he's going to put on another Big Day Lavan. It's not going to be as expensive. It's going to come from Hindu. Now, Hindu, right, I would have said India. Rashi says Ethiopia. Now, here Rashi says it, right? Rashi writes, V'haya Eretz Kush, K'nimitargin Yonasan Ben Uziel. So here Rashi quotes Targum Yonasan. Okay, so the shel shmona meo. So that was made up of 100 zuz. So basically, big day lava number one, that the first time he puts it on for tefillah number two, what we're describing according to the Tanakama is going to be valued at 1200 zuz, and the second one is going to be valued at 800 zuz. Divrei Rav Meir, this is all shitas Rav Meir. V'chachamim amrim, and the chachamim give different numbers. And that is b'shachra yolo v'shel shmona asar maneh, in the morning, meaning the first one, the one he's putting on now, is 1800, and ubein arbaim shel shneim asar maneh. The one in the afternoon is going to be 1200. So hakol shloshim maneh, so 1800 and 1200. 1800 and 1200, that gets us to a total of 30 money. Elam Michel Sieber, it's all coming from public money. Now, if he wants to, he can add on more, right? If he feels it's just simply not nice enough, so he'll take out of his own pocket. Okay, the Gemara later on is going to ask a question. Today's off. It's going to ask the question, how could you take out of your own pocket and make a contribution when all said and done, this has to come from public money, meaning that this is begadim worn by the Kohen Gadol as a public servant, and so it has to come from public money. The Gemara later on is going to ask that question. How can he just simply dip into his own pocket? Okay, with that stated, so the Mishnah over here has now given us the picture, the depiction of him putting on the Big Day Lavan. So from this point going forward in the Mishnayos, so that's it. We're going to move forward in the Avoda, but we are not going to get to the next Mishnah today. Tomorrow, Mirz Hashem, we're going to get to the next Mishnah. We're going to continue in the Avoda, and for the remainder of today, so we have Gemara. So we start with the Gemara in Lamed Hamad Aleph, a short Amad Aleph, right? In part, thanks to Tosfos yesterday, right? The lengthy discussion, really long Tosfos in yesterday's daf. Let's stick with the Gemara. So my Parva. So the Gemara says now he's toveling in the mikvah that is in Beis Parva. Beis Parva, Lishkas Parva, is a chamber off to the side. If you look in any one of your pictures of the Azara, you're going to find it. Hopefully I'm right about this. You're going to find it in the southeast corner of the Azara. Good. So, but it's a funny name. And the Gemara over here wants to know why exactly it's called Beis HaParva. So the Gemara doesn't really give us a lot to work with. The Gemara simply says, my Parva, my Rav Yosef, Parva Amgushi. Well, Parva was an Amgushi. Now, generally speaking, we say Namgushi is a magician, and that's exactly what Rashi says over here. So, Parva Amgushi mechashef echad, bana ushma Parva. So, he was a magician, and he built the base Parva, and so with the Gemara and Rashi, so you have a very funny picture of what we're talking about over here. Some magician, by the name of Parva, built the structure, and therefore we named it after him.
Not a sorcerer, right?
I say magician, you could say sorcerer. I don't know. Whatever. However you want to express it. Okay. That's really strange. Being a mechashef is an issim in the Torah. If you practice kishef, you're subject to misa bidei adam. It's a capital crime. And so it's really strange that someone would get that kind of notoriety and have a name and have a chamber named after him in the Beis Hamikdash. That's strange. It gets stranger. Tosus over here writes, Tosus towards the bottom of the Amud, Parvam Gushi. So Perish Ba'arch Vezel Lashono, Yesh Menachachamim Shomim, Ki Chafar Mechila Tachas HaKarka B'Kodesh. So there was somebody who dug a subterranean tunnel in the Azara, Ad Shira Avodas Kohen Gadol. And what he wanted to do is he wanted to see the Kohen Gadol. All right, who wouldn't want to see it? Meaning it's, obviously it must be an unbelievable sight to behold. And remember, he's there all by himself, and no one is able to see him. That's part of the ground rules of being the Kohen Gadol in the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur. So, but meanwhile, somebody dug an underground tunnel so just so he can get front row seats to such a vantage point. And Tosos writes, V'hir Gishua Kohanim Bechafira. And so now the Kohanim, however they got the intel, so they learned about this tunnel, Umatsu v'karoso halishka al-shmo, and they found him over here in Tosos. We are not given a report of what happens to him. I'm going to guess not good things happened to him. And they named the lishka after him. Okay, it's also strange. Meaning even with Tosos's episode that he gets from the Aruch. So again, it doesn't really satisfactorily give an answer in terms of why the chamber is named after him, right? Certainly, not a person not doing the right thing. Okay. You can. I promise you, I will not have an answer. But go ahead.
Because of the roof, maybe that's the engineering genius. Instead of calling him a sorcerer, maybe he was an engineering genius.
Could be. It could be. It could definitely be. I'm just working with Rashi and Tosfos over here. Okay.
That this guy wanted to go and tunnel and see. Right?
Yeah.
This was the upstairs. Mm-hmm.
This was the first, before doing the linen.
Mm-hmm.
Clothing, right? That's the one in the Chazara, but it's not in the...
Right, but the Gemara right now is just explaining why it received the name that it did. So it's named after this person.
But from this, I would get that this wasn't that exposed.
I don't know. The Gemara assumes that it's an exposed area. Okay, I have to work with the Gemara. Okay, Parsu Shel Sadim. Parsu.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Who says it? Okay. Good. Okay. Parsu Sadim Shel Butz. The next thing is that we're going to give him his privacy by holding up a sheet, but not just a sheet, but linen sheet. So Maishan Shel Butz. So the Gemara says, now why linen sheet? So Amar Rav Kahana Kedish Yakir. It's a reminder that today you're going to be wearing linen. I made this comment already, but I have no problem repeating this point, and that is that of all the reminders that we need to give the Kohen Gadol, this has got to be the strangest reminder. Oh, today's Yom Kippur, today you're going to be wearing linen. Now, if you're a Kohen Gadol working in the Beis HaMikdash, that's the kind of thing which is really rudimentary. It's Psukim in the Torah. He needs a reminder. It's a great additional point. And at this point in time now, like, he's putting on the Big Day Butz, meaning that's what he's putting on. So of all the things he needs to be reminded of, I literally do not know. And this is something where I know I struggled with this a couple days ago. I'm struggling with it now as well. I literally do not know, like, what are we gaining from this reminder? As if he were going to forget this basic fact. And on top of that, there are plenty of handlers around him right now. And they've been preparing this white linen that he's wearing for, we're going to learn today's daf, right? Some of the mothers of the Kohen Gadol, like they put together a white linen for their sons. Like I guess only because my question just really bothers me so much. I think there's got to be another explanation, meaning not to argue with the Gemara's explanation, God forbid, but there's got to be something else to why it is, right? This idea that we're reminding him, like, today you got to wear linen. It's just hard to understand.
Maybe it was because the fact that they were buying the position and then they were, after Kavod, they didn't want to give up their Bikri Zahav and do it with Bikri Zahav.
Okay. It could be.
That,
I don't really think it's an option right now in Yom Kippur not to wear the big deal. Again, it's Psukim in the Torah. Yeah. So I don't, these are not subtleties that we're trying to remind them. Okay. I don't know. Now, look at the sheet of the Chachamim back in the Mishnah, and the Gemara is bothered by a simple question, and that is that for the sheet of the Chachamim, so the big day lavan worn by the Kohen Gadol, so there are two rounds of it, for tefillah numbers 2 and 4, and for tefillah number 2, it's going to be 18 mana, and for tefillah number 4, it's going to be 12 mana, and then the Mishnah then tells us, oh, by the way, it's 30 in total. And the Gemara is bothered by a really simple question. That's addition. Like, we could do that. And so why does the Mishnah now have to tell us, oh, by the way, it's 30 in total? So the Gemara says, okay, that's it's an excellent question. And the Gemara says, I'll tell you what the Chiddush of the Mishnah is. So how kamash malan debatima ani lo navit? So the Gemara says, look, 30 is a minimum. Meaning that in terms of budgeting, normally you talk about here's how much we can spend. So here, when it comes to the budgeting for the Big Day 11, the Kohen Gadol, according to the Chachamim, you must spend minimum 30. Now, Now, if the numbers get shifted a little bit, let's say, for example, that instead of 18, we spend 19 on the first one, and then we spend 11 on the second one, that's not bad. In other words, but it has to be 30 in total. Now, why does it have to be 30 in total? All right, so the Gemara doesn't say, and I'm not going to bother guessing or conjecturing, but it has to be 30 in total. That's the Masorah. But it doesn't matter. The reason why the Gemara gives us a sum total is because it doesn't matter how you get to that number. So dekuli alma mias to shachar adifa. Now, even though in the Mishnah there's a machlok between Ramir and the Chachamim, here's what everyone agrees to. Right, the first one has to be more expensive than the second one. Exactly how much more expensive? So it's 1,200 versus 800, or it's 18,000 versus 12,000. Whatever the case is, the first one's going to be more expensive. So minnalan. So the Gemara says, and how do I know that? So I'm Rav Huna Bered Rav Ila Amakra bad. I hope I counted that right. There are four of them in total. So mufchar bebad. So if you go through the psukim where the Torah gives the description of the big day kahuna. So every one of the begadim, there are four in total, so the Torah attaches the word bad. Each one of them has to be made up of linen. Now, the Torah didn't have to say the word bad four times. Torah could have consolidated. Torah could have just mentioned the begadim, saying that each one of them, or better stated, all of them are made up of bad, by virtue of the fact that the Torah that uses the word bad four times. So that means to say, and that is specifically going on the first one that's worn, so therefore it has to be the most beautiful, expensive of the two. Mace phase. We turn now to the Amud Beis. So the Gemara says, okay, but a challenge. And that is, V'lafshu begadim achim v'loi kachu esam bevigdehem. So here we turn to a pasuk in Yecheskel in Perek Mem Dalet. Now this pasuk in Yecheskel is talking about the Kohen Gadol. Now you really don't know that, right? I'm advocating, go home and look it up. In Perek Mem Dalet in Yecheskel. You really don't know that's talking about the Kohen Gadol as you're going through the psukim. Yecheskel in general, right? I have no bekiyus in Yecheskel. Let's start there. But Yecheskel in general is really difficult to read, translate. The Gemara, in a number of occasions, talks about how Sefer Yecheskel is difficult, not just in terms of reading, but just also in terms of halachic conclusions, right? The Haftor for Parshas Emor, which we did pretty recently here in the year. So talks about how the Kohanim, so they're not allowed to eat trefa, they're not allowed to eat nevela, right? And meanwhile, neither are we allowed to eat trefa and nevela. So Yecheskel is difficult. So over here in this psukim, in Perek Mem Dalet Yecheskel, so it's describing Kohanim. The Gemara here is assuming that we're talking about the Kohen Gadol. So you look at Rashi on the top over here. So Rashi goes through a series of psukim in that Perek and Mem Dalet, where it gives a pretty good indication that we're talking about the Kohen Gadol. Rashi notes that psukim in that very same Perek talks about how the clothing is made up of all linen. Now by Kohen Gadol, that's not true. By Kohen Gadol, many of his clothing are made up of wool. The me'il is made up of wool in total. So contextually, it's talking about the Kohen Gadol, even though it doesn't say so. Anyway, Rashi puts together that at this point in the pasuk, what we're describing is that he's taking off his big day lavan, the lavshu begadim acherim, and he puts on the next set of big day lavan. So in other words, and based on what we know, that's for tefillos numbers 2 and 4. Right, the two times that he's wearing the big day lavan. And so with all that stated, and again, that's a lot that you have to work into the pasuk in order to get out the Gemara's point, but v'lafshu begadim acherim, v'lo yikachu esa'am bevigdehem. So he puts on begadim acherim. So that means to say that the second set of linens are not like the first. Now, with all that stated, again, you got to read a lot of that into the pasuk, but we are. So my lav acherim chashuv mehem. So the Gemara says, now, presumably what it means is that the second set are going to be more significant. Now, you really don't get that from the Pasuk. The Pasuk just uses the words Acherim. But, you have to say, it's a suggestion, but the Gemara immediately rejects it. Lo, Acherim Pechusim Mehem. Nah, what it means is that the second set are going to be inferior to that of the first set, not superior. That's what Acherim means in this context. Okay, Tanan. Rav Huna bar Yehuda v'amila, Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, Acher shakalta avodah tzibor, Kohen shasa lo imo ksonus loveshes. So after doing the avodah tzibor, meaning the tam shel shachar, so what happens is that the Kohen puts on his linens, his levanim, his white clothing, and here in the braisa, the one that was prepared for him by none other than his mother. Shasa lo imo ktonus lovsha. So he's going to put on the ketanis that was put together by his mother, and he's going to do avodas yachid, right? Literally, private work, individual work, uvavashim sernal tzibor, but provided that it's given over to the tzibor. Okay, so a couple things over here. So number one, the Bryce over here is describing the kohen and the clothing put for him by his mother, and said that he's going to be doing avodas yachid. What does that make a reference to? So Rashi over here says that when we're talking about avodas yachid, we're talking about the removal of the kafamachta, the removal of the spoon and the shovel. Spoon and the shovel, which we're going to learn in just a couple of Mishnayos from now. So that was brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim during the first time that he wore the Big Day Lavan. And then, second time he wears the Big Day Lavan, he's only doing one activity when the second time he wears his Big Day Lavan. And that is removal. Kaf Machta is going to be removed. That is it. That's the only activity. So Rashi says that's what the Gemara means over here when it describes Avodas Yachid. It's called Avodas Yachid simply because it's certainly not at all exciting compared to what he's doing the first time he's wearing the Big Day Lavan, which is basically the Avoda in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Okay. And then the Braisa goes on to say, now look, when all said and done, it's still the Kohen Gadol doing Avoda in Yom Kippur, even though it's quote-unquote a lesser, right, a lesser class job. Nevertheless, what mom has to do is that mom has to make sure she im serenel sibor. She has to give it over to the public, meaning it cannot be private clothing. So even though it was funded made by mom, nevertheless, what she has to do, she has to give it over for public usage. So basically, she has to donate it. Good. And on this point, the Gemara now picks up. So pshita ma'ud detema nechushem aloyim sinu yafa yafa kamash malan. Now, over here, maybe I should be concerned with the idea, with the fact that when mom hands it over to the public, so mom's not doing it with a whole heart. She put a lot of effort into the making of this clothing. It's her son. She could be emotionally attached to it. And so the Beis HaMikdash says, okay, you know what? Hand it over. Not just hand it over, but in other words, but it becomes our property. It becomes public property. You're good with that? So I might have been concerned with the fact that she said yes, but not capital Y. She said yes, meaning like, but she was begrudging about it. And she didn't do so, b'leiv shalem. Okay. That would have been the hava. I mean, the kamash malan, the chiddush is no. Chiddush is that she understands and that she's giving it over, b'leiv shalem. Amru alav, over here, we are really treated now on the Amud base to a number of brises. So one brise, Amru alav, Rabbi Yishmael ben Pavi Shaselo Imo Ketona Shomea Manem. So, one episode, one incident with Rabbi Shmuel ben Pavi, his mother made for him a ketonis made up of 100 mana. Now, in our mission, we were talking about numbers of 18 mana and 12 mana. So over here, right, mom really went overboard, but in other words, she was excited. And obviously she had the means. So he put it on. And he did avodas yachid umasra litzibur. And again, all the requirements that we just described. In that, if it's made by mom, so he's going to do not the main avoda, but he's going to do the secondary avoda. I mean that both here literally and figuratively. And on top of that, also mom's got to give it over to the tzibur. Amar lover Rabbi Elazar ben Charsom shasalo ima ketonis mishtei ribo. So regarding Rabbi Elazar ben Charsom, another story is told. His mother made for him a ketonis. And it was made up of shtei ribo. Ribo is 10,000, 2 times 10,000. So we're talking about 20,000. Velohi nichuhu echav akohanim lo sham im neshinira ka'arum. Now when the chachamim saw it, so the, not the chachamim, let me be a little bit more accurate. Echav akohanim. So when the other kohanim saw it, so they didn't let him wear it because it was basically you saw right through it, right? It was so fine, that basically it was sheer. And you could see right through it. And, so, the emperor's new clothing. I'm sure you heard the story. So over here, the Kohen Gadol, but it was real. But the problem was it was so sheer, that it was basically, now either one of two things. Either was just grossly inappropriate. That could be. Also, there could be, and that's a little bit more of a hashkafic ground, if you will. Or it could be halakhically, the fact that it doesn't provide the necessary privacy protection that clothing generally provides. So it could be that halachically, I'm thinking very halachically right now, but it could be halachically that it just simply doesn't have a shame baget. Meaning begotten by definition have to be things that cover and so that the parts of your body are not seen. And over here, because it was so sheer, so his body could be seen. Maybe halachically it doesn't have the status of being a baget. Okay. Umi mischaziv amar mar. Chutan kafel shisha. So the Gemara says, now look, it's real material and made up with real thread. And the thread has got to be made up of six different, threads going through, right? Each of the threads is a composite. And so how could it possibly be that sheer? So Amar Abaye, kechamra b'mazga. So Abaye says, I don't think it's a question at all. meaning that the threads are so fine, the fabric is so fine, that even though it satisfies the requirement of each thread being composite of six, but still, when all said and done, you could see through it. It's like right, a Abai's analogy over here. It's like when you have glass and you pour wine through the glass, so you could see the wine through the glass. So over here, same thing. Okay, the Rabbi says it's not a kasha. Okay, and from here until the remainder of today's daf, I know it's a short daf. From here until the remainder of the daf, so we're going to be treated. We brought up Rabbi Elazar ben Charsam as just one of the two kohanim that we just illustrated, where Imam made him Big Day Lavan, the likes of which was kind of unprecedented. So as long as we discussed him, so the Gemara now is going to treat us to another Braisa. Tana Rabbanan. Ani, v'ashe, v'rasha b'ayin ladin. So you have a poor person, or a wealthy person, or a rasha. We'll give better definition of what that means in a couple minutes from now. So they go to din, meaning after 120 years, and they sit down in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu for the Yom HaDin. So they're all going to come up with excuses in terms of why they weren't productive. Why didn't they learn Torah? Right? Each one of them is going to have their excuses. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to have answers for each of them. So La'ani Amrim Lo, as far as the Ani is concerned, so they say to him, Imne Malo Asakta B'Torah. Right? Amrim Lo, by the way, they say to him. So presumably over here, in other words, it looks like a Beis Din. So, right, so it's, right, it sounds extraordinarily scary. It's not just, you know, it's a whole tribunal. Okay, so Amrim Lo, so they say to them, Imne Malo Asakta B'Torah. So how come you weren't involved in the study of Torah? So im Omer ani hayisi v'tar b'mizonosai. So his answer may be, well, look, I was very poor and tar b'mizonosai, and I had to make a living, and unfortunately, I just simply didn't have time. So Omer lo klum ani haya yosemi hillel. So the response is, were you poorer than Hillel? So Amr Lava Hillel Zaken. They said regarding Hillel, shebechol yom yom haya ose umistaker b'tar paik. So every day he would work and he would earn one tarpa'ik. So chetz is a nominal amount. And chetz vayinosin l'shamer beis ha-medrash v'chetz yola parnasaso o parnasasanshe beiso. And so half of it he would spend in order to gain entrance into the beis medrash, and the other half he gave to his family so they have something to eat. So pamachas l'masa li'istakir. So one time he simply could not make the money. In other words, this nominal amount that he would make every day. V'loi nichu shamer beis ha-medrash li'kaneis. And so he wasn't allowed into the yeshiva. Okay, tuition crisis, right? Starts right here, right now. So, but back then, right? You didn't have the money; you weren't allowed in, right? I'm reminded of the Gemara in Brachos, the Machlokas between Rabbi Gamliel, Rav Elazar ben Azariah, regarding allowing people to come in, basically the admissions team, and Rabbi Gamliel was really tight in terms of who to allow in, who not to allow in. Rabbi Gamliel, Tocha Kabaro, right? Only people who were good, both internally, externally, right? Look good, were good. So those are the people Rabbi Gamliel allowed admission to. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, let's open the doors, let's allow everyone into the Beis Medrash. Okay, a major debate in the Gemara and Brachos between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Now we're talking about Hillel, so we are years earlier, right? I put it at about 100 years earlier, right, they're give or take. So, and meanwhile, so back by the time of Hillel, so if you didn't have the money to pay, you simply weren't allowed admission. So, Shomer Beis HaMedrash Likanes, Allah, V'nitla V'yashav Al Pi Aruba, Kidei Shiyishma Divrei Elokim Chaim Mipishmai V'Avtayon. So what he did is he went to the Aruba, there's some sort of skylight. And, so what he did is he plucked himself over there in order to hear the words of Shmai V'Avtayon. Shmai Vayavtayim, who were the fourth of the Zugos, of the pairs of Rabbanim who basically run Klal Yisrael, right? After Shimon HaTzadik, you go into the era of Zugos. There were five Zugos in total. The fifth, of course, is the ones we're familiar with, Hillel and Shammai. The ones prior to that were Shmai Vayavtayim. And so now the Yeshiva Shmai Vayavtayim, where now Hillel is perched on the rooftop in order to hear the shir of Shmai Vavtayon. So Amr Oso Ayom, Erev Shabbos Ayah. Now it happened to have been that day was Friday. So V'tkufas Tevas Haisa, and it was right in the middle of the winter. V'yard Alav Shelag Min HaShamayim. And what happens? It started snowing. K'shal Amr HaShachar Amr Alav Shmai Vavtayon. So Shmai Li Avtayon. And now morning comes, and Shmai says to Avtayon, Avtayon Achi, B'chol Yom Habayis Meir. You know, it's funny. Every day we get some light through that skylight. Over Hayom Afel, and today it's dark. What's going on over here? We all know, right? This is one of the most famous stories told in Shas. Here it is. So Shema Yom HaMeunanhu. Maybe it's a very cloudy day. Hitzitzu Einehem. They took a better look. And Ra'u Demosadam Baruva. And they saw the form of a man in the skylight. And of course, the form of the man was none other than Hillel. Alu Umatsu Alav Rum Shosha Mosh Shelag. On top of him was three amas of snow. Hillel was buried in approximately 6 feet of snow. Parku Verchitsuhu. So they took him down. They washed him. Sichuhu. They put oil on him. Voshivu Keneged Amador. They put him by fire. So Amr Raiza Lechalavas Shabbos. He says, you know what? Good. We're Mechal Shabbos on him. For him, it was worth it to be Mechal Shabbos on him. Everybody asks. What do you mean for him it's worth it to be Mechal Shabbos? Any Jew who's in a state of Sakana and any non-Jew who's in a state of Sakana. So you're Mechal Shabbos, right? So for Jews, the Gemara, a number of places. One of them happens to be right here in Yuma when we get to the end of the Masechta. So we're going to give one of the sources in terms of how it is that we know that you're Mechal Shabbos for a Jew. So here in the Gemara in Yuma is one of the sources. Although the Gemara throughout Shas is replete with different sources in terms of how we know that you're Mechal Shabbos. And for a non-Jew, because of Eva. But regardless though, the phrase over here, you know, it was worth it for this one to be Mechal Shabbos. So everybody asked the question, for everybody, you're Mechal Shabbos. So one of the answers I heard, and I don't have sourcing for it right now, so I'm a little bit nervous, but, you know, I've heard enough times. So I know it's out there. I just don't have a Mar Makom. But one of the answers I heard is that Hillel, yes, of course, the Mechal Shabbos for everybody and anybody, in order to save somebody's life. But Hillel behaved in a somewhat irresponsible manner, meaning that he put his own life in jeopardy by putting himself in that kind of position. I'm saying a havamina. You might have thought that when somebody acts so irresponsibly, that basically it forces you to be put in a position to be Mechal Shabbos. So maybe one could have thought, I'm not going to be Mechal Shabbos. In other words, it's because of his own behavior that led to this. That's what I would have thought. And that's why the statement over here is no, Ra'izeh. No, it wasn't irresponsible, meaning he wanted to learn Torah. So despite the fact that, yeah, he put himself in a precarious position, but to learn Torah, so it wasn't irresponsible behavior. Okay. I heard that as a suggested answer. Ashir, we're up to number two. Number two now is the Ashir. So Omrim lo mibnei malo asakta b'Torah. So the wealthy person who goes to Shemayim after 120 years, and the question is posed, how come you're not learning Torah? How come you didn't learn Torah? So im omer Ashir ha'isi v'Torah da'isi b'nechsai. And so his response is, you know what? I was really wealthy, and with all that wealth comes a lot of assets, and with a lot of assets comes a lot of responsibility. And you know, I had to take care of everything. So Omrim lo klum asher yosem Rebbe Lazar. So were you wealthier than Rebbe Lazar? Amar lav Rebbe Lazar ben Charsom. And here now a description, Rebbe Lazar ben Charsom sheniach lo aviv. Elef ayaros. What was he left as part of his estate? So he was left 1,000 cities, b'yabasha. And that was just on the land. Ukinegdem elf sfinos b'yam. Also he had a fleet of 1,000 ships, of v'chol yom v'yom. Notol notchel kemach. And here's what he would do with himself every day. So every day he would take a little bit of flour with him, meaning a sandwich. Okay, not a literal translation, but you understand. He took basically a sandwich. Al ktefo o mahalach meir leir medina medina lo motora. And he went around from yeshiva to yeshiva to learn Torah. Right? I don't know why he traveled so much. Meaning, why couldn't he just simply find one yeshiva? But if I had to guess, which I'm doing right now, so I'd suggest that maybe because, in other words, while he was going from one business trip to another business trip. So he's made sure to stop in the yeshiva along the way. Okay. Pamachas matsua vadava asuba and garia. And one time, one of his very own servants, right? They didn't know who he was. Meaning he, of course, was the owner, CEO of all of this. But basically, you know, he goes to one of his faraway cities that he himself owns. And they look at him and they're like, well, what are you doing here? And And I guess they didn't wait for an answer. And they basically wanted to put him to work. So, now, why doesn't he just simply say, I'm the owner? I'm not really sure. But anyway, he says, look, I'm on my way to learn Torah. So, Rebbe Lazar ben Charsom, she'im anichem oscha. So, and they said, no, you know, Rebbe Lazar ben Charsom, the boss, so He wouldn't allow that, meaning you have to work. So, and not realizing that he himself was, in fact, Rav Elazar ben Charsam. And if you're going to find him, you're going to find him learning Torah. Day, night, all you're going to do is going to find him learning Torah. Okay, so he is Mechayiv. Anyone who's wealthy, with the excuse of, because of my wealth, I learned Torah. So this Rav Elazar ben Charsam is going to be Mechayiv. And Rasha Omrim Lo. And we're down to our last, and that's the Rasha. Now, Rasha over here is a description of somebody who has a very strong Yetzirah for Arayos. And it's gonna become clear as we go through the context of the Gemara over here. Rasha Omrim Lo, Mimnei Ma Lo Asakta B'Torah. How come you weren't involved in the study of Torah? Imam or Na'i Isi. V'Torah B'Yitzrai. And so maybe his answer is, look, I happen to be particularly good looking. And for me, I have a tremendous Yetzirah. And, sorry. So Omrim Lo Klum Na'i Isim Yosef. So he says, look, right, as good looking as you are, you were not more handsome than Yosef. Amru alav Yosef atzadik b'chol yom v'yom ha'isa isha potifar mishad laso bidvarim. Every day, so he was solicited by Ashes Potifar. Not only that, begadim shalav shalo shachris lalav shalo arvis. She would go through wardrobe changes every single day. She would not wear the same outfit in the afternoon as she wore in the morning, basically to entice Yosef. Begadim shalav shalo arvis lalav shalo shachris. So she constantly went through changes of clothing in order to be more attractive and more attracting. Amr lo hishamali, and she says very clearly to him, like she'd like to be with him. Amr la lav amr lo hareni chovashtach bevesai surim, and then she started threatening him, right? If you don't comply, I'm going to put you in jail. So amr la Hashem atir asurim. So Yosef says, okay, Hashem will get me out of jail. So hareni kofefes komascha. I'm going to cut down your stature. Not exactly sure what that means, but Yosef responded, Hashem zokev kufufim. No problem at all. Kadosh Baruch Hu will take care of that as well. Harini mesame seinecha, I'll blind you. So Hashem pokeach ivrim. Okay, so Yosef said, that's fine. Again, psukim in the end of Sefer Tehillim, we say it as part of psukim de Zimra. Good. Hashem pokeach ivrim. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to provide sight for those who are blind. So nasnalo elef kikari kesef lishma ilaha. Okay, then she went to bribery. And Lishkav Etzlau Liosima, right? That's a quote from the pasuk. So Velo Ratzah Lishmo Eleha, and he just simply wouldn't listen to her. Okay, and that obviously required a tremendous amount of gvura and koach and good. And Yosef exhibited it. And by the way, the Gemara says the pasuk that we just quoted, Lishkav Etzlau Ba'olam Azeh Liosima La'olam Liosima Ba'olam Haba. Meaning not only to lie with her physically, but to lie with him physically, but to be with him also spiritually as well. Not 100% sure what that means. Rashi brings this down on Chumash. Whatever the case is that she just wanted to be with him. So Nimsa, Hila Mechayves Ainim, and now the Gemara says, okay, and now we can take a sum total of everything we just described over here. Hila was Mechayves Ainim, Rabbi Elazar ben Charsam Mechayves Ashirim, and Yosef Mechayves of Rishayim. And so now you put everything together. So as far as the Aniyim are concerned, so you have Hillel over there who's Mechayev. So anyone with an excuse, you don't have an excuse. And for the wealthy people, Rav Elazar ben Charsam, so he's Mechayev them. And for those people who have a strong, a tremendous Yetzirah, so Yosef is Mechayev them. Okay, and the reason why we got here is because of Rav Elazar ben Charsam. Okay, let's quickly summarize today's daf. We're stopping here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up with the Mishnah. So in terms of a quick summary, so Tefillah b'mikvah, second time now that the Kohen Gadol is going to be tovling the mikvah on Yom Kippur in order to put on the Levanim. The sequence in which he tovels, so he's going to be washing his hands, he's going to be undressing, he's going to be tovling the mikvah, he's going to be putting on the Big Day Levan, and then he's going to wash his hands again. That's one version of how it looks like. Rav Meir has a slightly modified version, as we pointed out throughout this perek. Rav Meir disagrees in terms of when the washing of the hands are going to be, before he removes the clothing or after he removes the clothing. Good. The Mishnah goes over that machlokas. Two times over the course of today in Yom Kippur, he's going to be wearing the Big Day Lavan for Tefillah's numbers 2 and 4. So for Tefillah number 2, which we're describing right now, he's going to put on Big Day Lavan. And for Tefillah number 4, he's also going to be putting on Big Day Lavan, but a different set of Big Day Lavan. In the Mishnah, we saw machlokas between Rav Meir and the Chachamim in terms of what the numbers are going to be, in terms of the value of Big Day Lavan number 1, Big Day Lavan number 2. Big Day Lavan number 1 is going to cost more. How much more? Interesting, a machlokas Tanayim. We don't have sources in terms of why those particular numbers, but a machlokas between the Tanayim. The Chachamim said the first one's going to be 18 mana, second one's going to be 12 mana, 30 mana in total. Why does the Mishnah give us, well, before I get to that point, as far as the as far as the Gemara's points to consider on Lam and Ham and Olive. Number one, the Parva, the base Parva, is named after an Amgushi, named after a magician. We quoted Rashi, we quoted Tosus this morning. The sudden shalbutz that he puts on, the sudden shalbutz that they use as a privacy sheet so that nobody sees him, as he told us in the mikvah. So why made up of linen? To remind him that today he's wearing linen. The Mishnah tells us that according to the Chachamim, it's going to be 18 and 12, which gets to 30. Don't we know how to count? So the Gemara says, yeah, 30 is the base minimum that you have to spend on the big day lavan. How you distribute it, so that in that regard, we have flexibility. It doesn't have to be 18 and 12, but it does have to total to 30. Okay, how do we know that the first begadim have to be more than the second begadim? Because that's what comes out of the Mishnah. So for that, the Gemara goes on to explain, well, that we have a drasha. The Torah, every one of the articles of begadim by the Kohen Gadol, it uses the term bad, which means linen, four different times. So each one of them, right, Rashi and Tosfos, by the way, Tosfos is a little bit more expansive in terms of how the drushas work, although to be fair, I didn't go through the Tosfos inside. To be fair, Tosfos himself struggles a little bit in terms of trying to figure out how exactly the drushas work, but to say it simply, it says bad four different times, so it means that the first beggar that he wears has to be really of fine, I could say it four times, fine linen. Okay, it's a simplification. The Gemara quoted the pasuk in Yecheskel in Perek Mem Dalet. Now, as we turn to the Amud Beis, we're just summarizing the Amud Beis. So, in Perek Mem Dalet, Yecheskel, so he definitely put on a second set of linens. All the pasuk describes them is that they are begadim acherim. For a moment, the Gemara thinks that the second set have to be superior than the first set. The Gemara says it's not the case. Then the Gemara brought down a couple of brises, bringing in stories of the mothers of the Kohen Gadol who prepared a begadim for their sons. Some of them were really nice. Some of them were too nice, right? In one episode, it was so nice. It was sheer. You could see right through it. And the other Kohanim said, that's just simply inappropriate. And then finally, as long as we brought up Rabbi Elazar ben Charsam and the kind of ketonis that was made for him by his mother, so he was apparently extraordinarily wealthy. In fact, the Gemara uses this as one of the three model examples of when someone goes to Shemayim and he says that either I am too poor or I'm too wealthy, or I have too strong Yetzirah, so all these people are going to be Mechayivim.